In late October, we learned that Olympia-based writer Lucia Perillo had died at the age of 58. She was a MacArthur Genius Award winner, and she wrote 7 poetry collections, including the Pulitzer finalist Inseminating the Elephant. KUOW's poetry correspondent Elizabeth Austin spoke with Bill Ratke about Lucia Perillo's poetry.
Well, in addition to the poetry collections, she also wrote a collection of short stories and a collection of essays titled I've Heard the Vultures Singing, Field Notes on Poetry, Illness, and Nature. So Lucia had trained as a wildlife biologist, and she worked as a ranger on Mount Rainier before she was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis at age 30, right before her first book of poems was published. And she remained a sharp observer of the natural world, though she had to be increasingly inventive about how she got there once she needed a wheelchair.
What's the poem that you've chosen for us?
Bill, I have to tell you, I really struggled about what poem to bring because I really love Lucia's work. Should I bring you Lucia the cultural critic or Lucia the dark humorist, the lyric poet, the nature poet? Because you're going to find all of that and more in her final collection, which is called Time Will Clean the Carcass Bones, Selected and New Poems, which Copper Canyon published just earlier this year. But I decided to bring in a poem that's about what Lucia described in an interview as her favorite subject, which is rot.
Her favorite subject is rot.
Yes, R-O-T.
What do you think she meant by that? I have some idea based on what you've told us.
She means exactly what it sounds like, decay. She was somebody who looked mortality head on, not at all sentimental. So this is a poem that I recorded way back in 2006, and it was one of many readings that Lucia gave at Open Books, the poetry-only bookstore in Wallingford. The poem is called Chum, as in chum salmon. So here's Lucia Perillo.
A number of years ago, I worked on a project with a photographer named Scott Chambers, and he lives in the Methow Valley, and he has Huntington's disease. So he had taken a number of pictures of dead salmon, and he called his series Bardo. Bardo is that state between life and death. I was thinking specifically of the paintings of Alfredo Aragon, and he has, in the cover of Raymond Carver's book, a painting of salmon, and they have the ghost salmon kind of floating back downstream. Chum, how come we all don't have the luxury of our ghosts, the way some paintings of salmon show their spectral versions flying? License, you might say, for the artist to put dead fish in the sky, instead of leaving them as they are when you see them wilting in the eddy, 2 tons of major spent sex stink. Yet see how everyone skips so giddily around the trail, eyeballing the spawning from the cedar bridge, as if they're sure we will be cohorts in the rapture about which the bumper stickers speak, as if we really will ascend someday to swim among the fishes. All of us, see how good we are, so careful not to kick stones down into the creek. I'm just trying to get a handle on how it would be if we made love one time in our lives after days spent on the interstate, before we lay down to die so publicly in shallow pools, while the other forms pass by and point to educate their frenzied children. See the odd species. They chose love.
Beautiful. That's the late Lucia Perillo reading her poem, Chum. I love that she doesn't hand-wring about life and death and rot, as you said.
Yeah, she takes that and looks at what's actually happening. She doesn't romanticize what we're seeing.
And Elizabeth, I'm talking with Elizabeth Austin. This is KOW's poetry correspondent. And you mentioned, Elizabeth, that you had trouble choosing which poem of Lucia's to bring. Why did you choose that one?
Because in just those 3 short stanzas, it carries so much of what makes Lucia's voice distinctive and memorable. So, you know, if that title and opening line makes you think that this is going to be a sentimental salmon poem, she skewers that illusion pretty early on when she describes the spawned out salmon as wilting in the eddy, 2 tons of major spent sex stink.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then she
tried. That's great.
Isn't it? I mean, it's and the thing is that it's pleasurable to say, even though what she's talking about is death itself, but
right.
it just in the mouth to say it.
And you're not removed from it.
No, she's putting us nose first into
there
it,
you
right?
Go.
And then she flips it around and looks at us as we skip so giddily around the trail, eyeballing the spawning from this cedar bridge. And then she just flips it around to something very unexpected. This last stanza, she writes, "I'm just trying to get a handle on how it would be if we made love one time in our lives after days spent on the interstate, before we lay down to die so publicly in shallow pools, while the other forms pass by and point to educate their frenzied children. See the odd species. They chose love."
Brings tears to my eyes. Maybe we wouldn't distance ourselves from death if we felt as close to it as maybe Lucia did later in her life. She did. She's not. It's not some faraway thing that we avert our eyes from.
No, and she succeeds in putting it back on us, that she leaves you and I to consider this. She's not going to tidy anything up for us.
We are going to tweet out a link to a reading that Lucia Perillo gave a couple of years ago for Seattle Arts and Lectures.
Mm-hmm.
It was featured on KUOW Presents not long ago. In fact, you can find links to more of Lucia Perillo's work if you want to get to know her better. That's at our website, KUOW.org. And, Elizabeth, I understand there's a celebration of Lucia Perillo's life and work this Sunday in Olympia?
There is, and we'll put the information about that on the website as well.
Our poetry correspondent, Elizabeth Austin, thank you for coming in.
Thanks, Bill.